Well, we thank the Lord for that song. I really believe that. There's no one can touch us like Jesus can. Well, we feel real dependent this morning upon the Lord, so we would just like to ask the Lord to bless and help us today. We trust in Him. I know His Word is so rich. If we can just have it illuminated to our hearts, the Word of the Lord will guide us and enliven our hearts and lives and give us hope. And so we trust the Lord will do that this morning. I feel like the Lord's given us a few things that we want to share. In Romans 15 and verse 4, it says, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope." You know, I was just thinking this morning how that God is so interested in us having hope in Him. The Lord is very, very interested in us knowing that God is able and that He will take us through if we'll put our hand in His. And so He tells us here in the Scripture, He says, those things that were written before time, you know why all those stories are preserved and written? They're written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. And I kind of want to think about this morning, patience, and how that I believe the Lord would like for us to be able to patiently endure some things and be able to make heaven our home through patience and through the hope that the Lord gives us in His Word and by His Spirit. I wanted to read a little bit in Hebrews 6 and 12. And you know, Hebrews 6 and 12. It says here, "That ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises." You know, the promises of God are more than we can take in. I believe there's promises that in our whole life, if we took in everything we could, there'd still be an abundance left of the promises of God. And the Scripture says here, "For us to be followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises." You know, for us to have patience and trust in God and live like the Lord wants us to and put our hand in His and endure afflictions and endure the things that life comes and brings to us and hardships that come and many places in life. You know, it takes some belief in God, and it takes some patience for us to put our hand in His. I just want us to think about this morning, anchoring ourself into God and patiently waiting for the promise that the Father has given us. You know, we read on just a little bit here, and it says, "For when," following that scripture, "For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing, I will bless thee, and multiplying, I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise." I want to just read this definition of patience this morning. It says, "The suffering of afflictions, pain, toil, calamity, provocation, or other evil, with a calm, unruffled temper, endurance without murmuring or fretfulness." Patience may spring from constitutional fortitude, from a kind of heroic pride, or from Christian submission to the divine will. You know, there's a place where the Lord wants us to patiently, believing in the divine will, wait on Him. I just was seeking the Lord this week. I feel real sure this is what the Lord gave me. And so I just want to share it with us this morning. Basic thoughts, a lot of them. But, you know, The Lord wants us, I believe, we read here, so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. You know, Abraham, when he got up and left, we read the stories of Abraham and they're fascinating. And we read what went on in his life, it's fascinating. But you know, there was a lot more to life than the few stories that's in the Bible that we read about. You know, some of the stories we read about weren't so wonderful in his life. When he went into the land and the king there, he said, who is, you know, he wanted to know who Sarah was. Well, she's my sister. Well, you know, that was kind of a half-truth. But, you know, Abraham had to patiently wait. And he kept serving God during that time. And we see how God worked in his life. And then there came places the Lord required of him enormous sacrifices. One of them was the sacrifice of his son. Abraham, I want you to go and offer Isaac. And you know, it doesn't say anything about Abraham arguing with the Lord. He got up after that. He got on his donkey. He took his son with him. And you know, he wanted to know, where is the sacrifice? The Lord will provide that. And you know, he followed the Lord patiently, putting his hand in the Lord's hand. I just want us to think about this morning that there are those that have went before us and they have paved a path to heaven. We see their life, we see their faith, and when they come down to the end of their way, their testimony is clear. They have a clear place. Paul wrote that. When he came down to the end of his way, I know we've said this many times, but he said, I have fought a good fight. Paul came down to the end of his way and he knew, my way, my heart is clear with God. And he knew that. You know, those things are written. The Lord had them written down so that we would have hope and we would take courage in the middle of our trials and our battles. There's many different kinds of battles. I think about this morning, people have financial struggles. Some folks have those all their life sometimes. And you know, if we have those kind of things, if we have afflictions, if we have people problems that, you know, the Lord sees all of that. And there's been people before us that has went through those very same things. And you know, they've made it to heaven. They made it to heaven with a clear title when they got there. I want to encourage us this morning that we have patience and allow the Lord submission to the divine will. Lord, this is where I'm at, and this is where you've got me. And Lord, I'm going to patiently endure this thing. We sang the song, and it talked about, I was enjoying all of that. And you know, here we come to the garden alone, and you know, the dew is still on the roses. And you know, all of us that have known those places relate very well. We know what that means. It's a wonderful place. But then he says, he bids us to go out to the voice of woe. We face life as it is, and we face many troubles. Sometimes it's ourselves. Sometimes it's our own personality or whatever. And we work through life like that. But you know what? The Lord wants us in the middle of all of life to find a place with the Lord that goes beyond our troubles, whatever they might be, and patiently endure and patiently wait on the Lord to work in our lives. I believe the Lord will do that this morning. So we want to look at a few places where some folks had to go through some things, and it's written for our comfort and for our hope, that we might have hope in when we're in the middle of things. In Hebrews 10 and 32, it says here, but call to remembrance the former days. Listen to this. Call to remembrance the former days in which after you were illuminated, you endured a great fight of afflictions, partly whilst ye were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly whilst ye became companions of them that were so used. You know, that's a place we don't like to be. We don't like to, for one thing, become a gazing stock through reproaches, especially, and afflictions. And we don't like to become companions of them that are like that, because we want our name to be all wonderful. But you know, he said, let's read on here. He told us to call to remembrance some things. And he says, "For ye had compassion of me in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and an enduring substance." Listen to the words that we find when we read those things that are written for our admonition. It says here, "Knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward." Listen to the words that Paul's writing here. He's encouraging these people. He said, "You remember some former times." And he said, "Don't cast away your confidence." Do we have some memories of some former times? He says here, "Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise." You know, that can fall into so many different places. But one promise we have is that we can make it to heaven. One promise that we have is that we can make it over there. Another promise that we have is that God will be with us all the way, even until the end of the world. God has promised these things. And so he said, don't cast your confidence away. It has a great recompense of reward. After you have need of patience, that after you've done the will of God, remember something. When we've done the will of God, the Lord will allow us to receive the promise. "For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith." Listen to this scripture. "The just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul." You know, I don't know what situation all of us are in, but I will tell you one thing. We're all in the middle of life, and we have many things that we deal with. Life is very good. There are very many wonderful places, but there are very many places as well where we have to patiently endure some things. And I just want to encourage us this morning that we don't draw back unto perdition, but that we are of them that believe to the saving of the soul. I want to look at a few of these things where Paul told the Hebrews. He was writing to the Hebrews. These people remembered some things, because this was still... a lot of these people remembered the times when Jesus was there at this time. And he said, "I want you to call to remembrance some things." And I want to look at some of those. In Acts 8:1, we look at a few things there. I know that we are really not under persecution today. But you know, it doesn't matter what we're under, because everybody has their own set of battles. Everybody has their own set of reasons that the enemy puts before them. And so I just want to encourage us this morning. The Lord wants us to overcome those places. He doesn't want us to be set back and held back and in the end denied our passport over. The Lord wants us to be able to have victory in our life, in whatever situation we're in. In 8:1 of Acts, it reads here, "And Saul was consenting unto his death." This was Stephen's death. "And at that time there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles." Now they weren't always under persecution, but they were at times. "And as for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committed them to prison. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. You know what it caused these people to do? It caused them to ignite. It did not cause the people of God to all of a sudden be squashed there's nothing left of them. Saints, when the pressure gets on in our life, God wants that to be an igniter. That's what He wants it to be in our life. And it says they went everywhere preaching the gospel. And what verse was I on? 4. Okay, therefore they were scattered abroad. Now this was a terrible thing. Coming into the houses, pulling people out, taking them to prison, all these kind of things. Did it damper them? Did it cause them? No, it ignited them. And so it says, therefore they were scattered abroad. Went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies, and that were lame, were healed, and there was great joy in that city. You know, I just want us to think this morning, I believe the Lord wants us to take what we have and be patient with it. God wants to use it. I don't know how God wants to use our battles and our troubles. There are many variations of them, as we've already said several times. But you know what? God wants to take those things in our lives, and He wants to use them to build a fire with. And so I pray this morning that the Lord will help us to see a little deeper into what happened in these people's lives. And I want to look at another place or two this morning. In Acts 16 and 22, we read here and listen to this little story, this little accounting of what happened with Paul and Silas. And it says here, and the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. Now that couldn't have felt too good. And when they had laid many stripes upon them. Now you know, we don't face that, do we? That we don't face those stripes, not like that. None of us here, I don't suppose, has faced stripes. But you know, it says here, when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, now you look at this situation. Paul and Silas were probably bloody. They were hurting. Their feet were in stocks. They could not move or probably scratch where they wanted to or any other thing. They were held fast and could not get out of the situation they were in. And it says here at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. And the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake. You know what happened here? The Lord began to work. You know what happened here? They got in a situation there was no way out of. They were held fast. They could not move. But the glory of God broke forth. When they began to sing and pray and praise the Lord, you know what began to happen? Conviction began to rest upon other people. I want to encourage us this morning. If we are in situations that we seem like we cannot get out of, saints, sometimes we need to pray and sing and praise the Lord for what He has done. And bless the Lord. Paul was, I believe, thanking God for all the things that he had done in his life. He turned him around when he was on the road to Damascus. And you know, we see here, suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison Awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" You know, I believe the Lord used this situation and he ignited something here that was very special. And I don't know how far reaching this was, but I believe the Lord wants us to view things a little differently sometimes than we do. With patience, serving God, realizing the hand of God is with me here. The hand of God is in this thing, and he's going to make it a tool in his hands. He's going to use it. He's going to use it to put conviction on the jailers. He's going to use it to put conviction on my children. He's going to use it in his hands if we react with patience and sing to the Lord and pray unto the Lord. I just want to encourage us this morning. You know, there are battles going on today. We're not unaware of that. Saints, we might have to do a little more praying together, singing together unto the Lord, looking to the Lord. Lord, we need you to help us. I believe there's answers there in those places. And I want to read another place here in Acts 12. We're still looking back. He said, call to remembrance those times, those places, however it mentioned it there. In Acts 12 and 1, we read another account. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. Again, this was not easy. Can you imagine? Well, we'll read on here. And he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people for his death also. Doesn't say that, but that's what he was doing. And you know, if you think about it, that would have been a pretty tough place if in this congregation some of those that we have known and loved and respected were taken away, one of them killed, the other one getting ready to be killed. You know what kind of place that would put us in? I want us to look and see how did these people react? These things are written for our admonition and for our learning, that we might, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, have hope ourselves. Peter, therefore, verse 5, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church of God, of the church unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side, and raised him up, saying, "Arise up quickly." And his chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said unto him, "Gird thyself, and bind on thy sandals." And so he did. And he saith unto him, "Cast thy garment about thee and follow me." And he went out and followed him and wist not that it was true that was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. When they were past the first and second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which openeth to them of his own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from them. Now, you know, it says here that prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. I believe this is part of that admonition that we find. You know, when things get to a place where we have to have an answer from the Lord puts us on our knees And he wants us to patiently endure and pray and seek the Lord. And we see here where, as a result of that, it says the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side. You know, that would have been a pretty amazing thing to happen. That would inspire some faith, wouldn't it? The Lord came in the prison, smote him on the side. Peter, arise. And you know, and raised him up, saying, arise up quickly. And his chains fell off from his hands. You know, when the Lord works, no man can hinder. These people, he was here. Herod had him with four quaternions of soldiers. And it says the next day, you know, when there was no small stir. And so Herod began to examine these keepers and commanded to put them to death because he thought he had them secure. You know, when we just feel like there's no way out, we're here, this is where it is, there isn't any way out of this. You know what? No man can hinder God's work. What the Lord is wanting from us is our heart to humble before Him. Pray before Him. Lord, I need Your help. I'm in a struggle here. I can't get out of on my own. Here I am. I'm bound fast. And there's no way out. You know what? That's nothing. That's nothing with God. Doesn't matter what it is. Doesn't matter what kind of battle it is. We're all in different areas of life, but we're all facing life. And there's going to be times in every one of our lives when we really don't know what to do. We're in a place where we need God to work. Let's humble our hearts with patience. Patience, follow the Lord. Don't turn our hearts away from God. Don't run and do our thing. Let God have His way in our life. Sing unto the Lord. Instead of saints, I want to encourage us. I believe the Lord wants us to draw closer together in these kind of times where that we begin to there's a work that God wants to do here in all of these things. Now, we read on here. And the angel, let's see, said unto him, gird thyself. Well, we'll drop on down. When they were past the first and the second ward, they came into the iron gate that leadeth into the city. Another obstacle, there's no way through this one either, which opened to them of his own accord. He didn't even have to try. What do you mean there's no way out here? It just opened. The angel of the Lord opened this thing. Which opened to them of his own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street. And forthwith the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, now I know of a surety that the Lord hath sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. Listen to that. This didn't just happen. There were people humbling their hearts, crying out to God. That's very valuable in the Lord's eyes. I believe the Lord wants us to come together, saints. Don't let the enemy, when you feel in your battles, don't let him make you alone. We need one another. We need to sing together. We need to pray together. We need to recall and remember the things God has done in the past together. And you know what? I believe we'll be able to take courage to go on. The Lord wants us to remember those things that were aforetime. Some of them written, some of them are in our memories today. And He wants us to remember those things that we might take comfort and that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. The Lord is very interested in us making it through, saints. All of us, every one of us making it through whatever our trouble is. Where many were gathered together praying, and as Peter knocked At the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. And they said unto her, "Thou art mad." But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then said they, "It is his angel." But Peter continued knocking. And when they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. Why were they astonished? Wasn't this what they were praying for? You know, God will do abundantly above what we can ask or think. They probably never dreamed God would do this. That's the way I believe God works in battles. I believe the Lord actually works this way. We've seen it. But he, beckoning unto them with the hand to hold their peace, declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, "Go show these things unto James and to the brethren." And he departed and went into another place. Now, you know, to me, these are stories. They're written for our admonition, saints. Let's take courage this morning in whatever place that we are in. I want to read just a few more places here, a couple of more places maybe. In Genesis 50, you ever thought, I know we've mentioned this many times, and others have too many times. It's one of those places in the Bible that we take courage from. But you know, there's a reason that, what is it? There is a reason that there are 12 chapters in Genesis devoted mostly to Joseph's story. The Lord put that in there for us to take courage by, because there's hardly a worse situation you could imagine than being in his place, and hardly a harder situation to get out of. How would you get out of prison when you were in? Because God said it was time. And so he told a man his dream. He stayed in there a couple of more years, and then he told the king his dream, and he was out, and he was the ruler of Egypt all of a sudden. You know what? God had his hand on all of his life. God has his hand on our lives too, if we're truly God's property. If we truly take our hands off of our life, if we do that, and we give it to the Lord, we are God's property. And you know what? I believe God will take care of his property. He will take care, good care of what he has. We may not always understand all the ways God deals with us, but I believe if we'll patiently wait, patiently take comfort in the scriptures, in the spirit of the Lord, we'll find that God will work in our life. And here in Genesis 50 and 15, I'm just going to read the very ending here. It says, "And when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, 'Joseph will peradventure hate us and will certainly requite us all the evil which we did unto him.'" You know, they remembered some things too. And they knew what they had done to Joseph. They knew they had taken his coat, threw him in a pit to kill him, and then sold him. And they remembered that at this time. And now Joseph's father was dead, and he's going to get back at us. I know we've heard this many times. "And they sent a messenger unto Joseph, saying, 'Thy father did command before he died, saying, So shall ye say unto Joseph, Forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren and their sin, for they did unto thee evil. And now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of thy father.' And Joseph wept when they spake unto him. And his brethren also went and fell down before his face, and they said, 'Behold, we be thy servants.' And Joseph said unto them, 'Fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive.'" I believe the Lord means all the things that come into our life for good. Can we believe that this morning? Amen. All the things that come into our life are meant for good. Would they destroy us? He said, you meant it for evil. It could have destroyed him had he cursed God. It could have destroyed him. But because he kept his faith and confidence in God, it came out where he said, as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good. Do you know God has his hand on our battles today? It might be to bring us to a deeper place with him. It might be to humble our hearts more, where that our title will be real clear on the day that we come to meet the Lord, because that's what's important to the Lord. And so he looks at things very different than we do. And so we see that God meant this for good unto Joseph and unto his family. God sees what has come into our life. Is it all good? No, it's not all good. Satan means it for evil sometimes. Satan meant to bring Peter the next day and have him killed. And Herod was planning to do that. Satan means many evil things. But you know what? God had his hand on all of that. God had his hand in there. God has his hand in our life today. Can we believe the report? Can we believe if we are truly God's child, the Lord will take those things and build our life out of them. He will build our testimony from those very things. Lord, cause our faith to mount up. Cause our faith to take in that we're your children, that you mean us good, that you'll do for us what is right and what is good. Deepen us, draw us closer together. Cause us to sing together in heavenly places, not just in a formal setting, but cause us to come together and weep and pray with one another. You know, that's all part of God's plan. You know how strengthening that is together? It's all a part of God's work. And I want to encourage us this morning. Oh, let God do his work in our lives. Let not the trials seem greater than we can bear. Because there is times when things come thick and fast. We don't always understand everything. The Lord means it for good to us. I believe he'll turn it to our good. Just a little bit more here. In Luke 21 and 16 is a just wanted to mention this. Luke 21 and 16 says, and ye shall be betrayed. Now, you know, most of us here don't feel this way. I know as far as betrayed in today's world, maybe, but some of us may. And ye shall be betrayed both by parents and brethren and kinsfolks and friends. And some of you shall they cause to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but there shall not an hair of your head perish. You know, that's what I want to get a hold of this morning. Now, if they're going to put us to death, does that mean, what's he mean? There's not going to be a hair of our head perish. It means he has his hand on that. And there isn't one thing going to happen to us, but what the Lord has his hand right in the middle of that. Will we have a hair come out of our head? Maybe so when they drag us off. But that's not, I don't believe, what he's talking about. There's not one hair of our head going to perish outside of God's hand holding us. God has his hand on all of his people's lives. And so our job is to humble ourselves. Know that we're God's people. Find that place with the Lord where we go deeper. Where we go deeper. Where maybe we come together more in prayer and in singing. Just a couple other. In Romans, I want to come back to the scripture we started with in Romans 15 and 4. I'd like for us to take this scripture home with us tonight, today. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. God wants us to read the scriptures. He wants us to read the accounts where God worked in people's lives. He wants us to read the accounts where people disobeyed God and what happened to them. The Lord wants us to read and know the accounting. You know why he had it written? For our learning. So that we might, through patience through patience, through enduring some things without complaining. Enduring some things and looking up to God. Lord, I need your help here. He wants us to take comfort, and that we might, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. I was thinking about patience. You know, sometimes if you get in the middle of a job and the thing's going haywire and you just can't seem to get it together, you know, it takes patience sometimes to just, all right, everything's breaking, everything's going wrong. I cut that thing wrong. It won't fit. Now I don't have enough wood. I got to go back to the lumber yard. You know, on and on and on. And all of us have our own lives, so not everybody's carpenters. But, you know, those things and those places, we have to have patience sometimes. We have to calm ourselves down and say, it'll be okay. There will be another day. And, you know, not every day is like today. And we have to do that sometimes. That's patience. Get a hold of ourselves. This morning, can we do that? Get a hold of ourselves. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God in the faith of Jesus. That's Revelations 14 and 12. You know, saints, the Lord gave us His Word. He will work in our lives. He will. But He's really calling us to a closer place with Him and with one another. I believe there's times when we just simply need to come together in earnestness of prayer. Lord, we need You to just bless. We just need You to help. We need You to turn loose some of those chains on folks. You know, the Lord can do that. Let's pray together. Let's ask God to help us in every way, that all of us can be encouraged. Our title can be clear. When we come to the river of life and we're coming to the gate of the celestial city, saints, our title can be clear. We can be clear. We can make it in. Amen.